It's good to be here this morning and to be able to renew friendship and fellowship and to meet new folk. It's always good to come to a church, as we do these days visiting, and to see people we don't know. That's a healthy sign within the life of a church, and I'm glad that's so this morning. I wanted today to address an issue that is very current in a number of churches, and I have to say to you, within our own life, for Alison and I. I think I'm probably safe and on safe ground in saying to you, we've all at some time been affected by disagreements. Where there's conflict, where we don't quite see eye to eye, or maybe strongly disagree with somebody. And it's not so much the fact that there is disagreement or a conflict that's the issue. It's how we handle it. And within the Christian community, we find that there are many different approaches, like those who are very loving and merciful and generous, and there are others who are more rigid and say, this is how it's got to be or else. And in some cases, in cases I've spoken to people recently, they weren't leaving, not a part of this. And it's like, hang on, slow down here. And I want this morning to address that question of when we have disagreements, and it doesn't just apply within the life of the church. It's within the workplace and the community. It's the totality of our lives. What biblically are we to be doing, and how are we to respond to the differences and the disagreements? And the sad thing about it is disagreements easily become lasting problems. Like, they start small and it's like an infection, it's a cancerous growth within our lives and sometimes even within the life of the church. And in these last years, Alison and I have been called to a number of different churches where there have been severe issues, and we've had to go in and to restore and to bring to a place of health, with God's help obviously, but to change responses and attitudes and things that have taken place that become entrenched in the life and practice of people and the church. A couple of years ago, I was travelling with my two brothers, David and John, up in the Kimberleys of Western Australia. We're actually doing the Gibb River Road. It was a great trip, a good time away. We pulled into a homestead about halfway through that trip, and we had mobile reception. And here comes an SMS saying, do you know this person? Have a look at current affair this date. So that night, the three of us, we logged into current affair and we managed to get it. Oh my goodness. Seriously, it was about a person I know who was experiencing in their mind a conflict and a difficulty. And here they were on television arguing with a neighbour about where you place the rubbish bins on the curbside. You don't put yours on my curb. And it's like, really? Seriously? I mean, I had to say to my two brothers, I'm embarrassed that I even know the person. But it was such a trivial matter. I mean, it's there overnight at the longest. Is it really going to make any difference? The question is this: how do we handle differences? Does it escalate to a point where, seriously, there was this massive disagreement and it was here on TV? So I want to read to you this morning from Romans chapter 14 and the first 13 verses. Now, it'll become apparent why. I've asked Alison, my wife, if she will read it firstly, and then I will address something and come back to that passage and read it again. So Alison, if you'd like to come, just so that you have a different voice than mine all the time, okay?
Let's read from Romans chapter 14, verse 1 to 13. Accept other believers who are weak in faith, and don't argue with them about what they think is right or wrong. For instance, one person believes it's all right to eat anything, but another believer with a sensitive conscience will eat only vegetables. Those who feel free to eat anything must not look down on those who don't. And those who don't eat certain foods must not condemn those who do, for God has accepted them. Who are you to condemn someone else's servants? They are responsible to the Lord, so let him judge whether they are right or wrong, and with the Lord's help, they will do what is right and will receive his approval. In the same way, some think one day is more holy than another, while others think every day is alike. You should each be fully convinced that whichever day you choose is acceptable. Those who worship the Lord on a special day do it to honour him. Those who eat any kind of food do so to honour the Lord, since they give thanks to God before eating. And those who refuse to eat certain foods also want to please the Lord and give thanks to God. For we don't live for ourselves or die for ourselves. If we live, it is to honour the Lord, and if we die, it is to honour the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. Christ died and rose again for this very purpose, to be Lord both of the living and of the dead. So why do you condemn another believer? Why do you look down on another believer? Remember, we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For the scripture says, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bend to me and every tongue will confess and give praise to God. Yes, each of us will give a personal account to God. So let's stop condemning each other. Decide instead to live in such a way that you will not cause another believer to stumble and fall.
Thanks, Alison. Now, Paul here in chapter 14 and the first part of chapter 15 is giving guidelines for Christian people in the Christian community as to how we conduct ourselves. This is about healthy Christian living. Firstly, within the community and the church, but then it spreads wider as we have contact and live within the community of this society. So it's guidelines and principles that he's outlining about practical Christian conduct. And there are four things here that I believe are critical and impact every situation in life, even as we encounter it ourselves. Now, just so that we get clear, and last thing at night, having wrapped up my preparation for this message, I took the Bible, the Living Bible, and I started to read the passage again. And this time I want to read it to you, having heard it firstly from the New Living Translation. Listen to it again carefully. Now, remember, the Living Bible is not an accurate word-by-word translation, but it takes the theme and the gist of the different verses and puts it into language that we understand. It's still true to the scripture, but it puts it in a way that's plainer, I think. Listen to this again. Give a warm welcome to any brother or sister who wants to join you as members of the church, even if they scarce believe that Jesus Christ alone can save him. Don't criticize him or her for having different ideas from yours about what's right and wrong. For instance, don't argue with him about whether or not to eat meat that has been offered to idols. You may believe there is no harm in this, but the faith of the other is weaker. They think it's wrong and will go without any meat at all and eat vegetables rather than eat that kind of meat. Those who think it's all right to eat such meat must not look down on those who won't. And if you're one of those who won't, don't find fault for those who do. For God has accepted them to be his children. They are God's servants, not yours. Let him Let him tell them what to do. They are responsible to God, not you, and God will help them do what is right. Some think that Christians should observe the Jewish holidays as special days to worship God. Others say it's wrong and foolish to do that and go to all that trouble every day. Alike belongs to God. Every day alike belongs to God. On questions of this kind, everyone must decide for themselves. If you have a special days for worshipping the Lord, you are trying to honour him. You are doing a good thing. So is the person who eats meat that has been offered to idols. He is thankful to the Lord for it. He's doing right. And the person who won't touch such meat, he too is anxious to please the Lord and be thankful. Here's the rub. We are not our own bosses to live or to die as we ourselves might choose. Living or dying, we follow the Lord. Living or dying, we are his. That is why Christ died and rose again, so that he can be our Lord both whilst we live and when we die. You have no right to criticise your brother or look down on him. Remember, each of us will stand personally before the judgment seat of Christ. As it is written, "As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue confess to God." Yep, each of us will give an account of himself to God. So don't criticise each other anymore. Try instead to live in such a way that you will never make your brother stumble by letting him see you do something that he thinks is wrong. Skip down to verse 15. It continues on. If your brother is bothered by what you eat, you are not acting in love if you go ahead and eat it. Don't let your eating ruin someone for whom Christ has died. Notice that? You are not acting in love, and all the translations put it that way. So where do we go with this? I want you to notice here firstly, especially in verse 1, where it says, accept other believers who are weaker in faith. And don't argue with them about what they think is right or wrong. And the first word for us, friends, as we deal with differences, is to accept the other person. We accept them and their perspective. We don't agree with it, but we accept that's where they're coming from. It's like we enter into their world at that moment to hear what they are actually saying. Now, it's significant that the word that is translated here, accept, actually means to welcome and to embrace. Welcome and embrace a person who's got a different perspective. Now, what's your reaction to a person who's got a different perspective about things? My reaction, anyway, is generally, I don't want to hang around with them. But why should I give time to that? I think that's rubbish, crazy, dumb, whatever. Paul is saying, in the Christian community, firstly, we are to accept, we're to embrace. It's like we are to welcome. And it says in verse 3, God has embraced, God has welcomed. Let's do the same thing. Now let's pause here. Some things are clear and there is no debate. Yeah, we may need to discuss it and we may need to make it clear as we discuss. Things like Jesus as our Lord and Saviour. If you like, things like don't lie. Don't commit adultery. To obey the law. They're things that are not to be questioned. We may discuss and the implications of it, certainly. But they are etched in stone and they are clear. But some things are not black and white, are they? In all my years as a minister and working with churches across Australia, it's really interesting to find things that Christian people are in dispute about. What version of the Bible do you read in public in your church? And I've seen churches have great barneys about, that's crazy. Just read the scriptures, will you? if you like, whatever. Change different versions from week to week, whatever. But what worship songs do you use? What style of worship song? What form of worship service? I could not live, personally, I could not live in a church where they have the read prayers and the readings that are all set and they go through a rote formula. That's just not me. Alison will tell you, my life is flexible. That's my word, right? I couldn't do it. That's fine for some people because they need and want that style. That's fine. We don't have to, but it's not etched in Scripture. Again, I can't believe it that I'm even going to say this to you. But one church had an almighty row over what colour carpet they were going to have in the church. It's like, get over it. That's not an issue, right? There are some things, as I said, that are clear and we need to follow through on. They have biblical warrant and are clear in Scripture. We talk about it, but we come to a place where sometimes we agree to what the Scripture says or how we see that. So there are grey areas and we need to accept one another with differences in those grey areas. The second thing that we look at here is, so firstly there's the acceptance, and we see, if you look at the life of Jesus, you see all over his life the whole accept, if you like, embracing a person, the woman in adultery. The kids that the disciples said, buzz off, and he said, welcome them. The centurion working for the Romans. Another bloke who was up a tree, he was working for the enemy. But Jesus had time for him. Luke chapter 15 is talking and addressing those who couldn't stand people who were different to them. We'll come to that in a little minute. So there's firstly the whole sense of accepting the person and being open to hear and to journey with the person. And then in verses 4 through to 6, we find that Paul is saying here, and let me read it to you. Who are you to condemn someone else's servants? Their own master will judge whether they stand or fall, and with the Lord's help, they will stand and receive his approval. In the same way, some think one day is more important than another, while others think every day is alike. You should each be fully convinced that whatever day you choose is acceptable. Those who worship the Lord on a special day do it to honour him. Those who eat any kind of food do so to honour him, since they gave thanks to God before eating. And those who refuse to eat certain foods also want to please the Lord and give thanks to him. Now notice there's a common thread there. For those who want to do this and those who don't want to do this, they want to please the Lord. That's the question that is being raised here. Do we do what will be respectful, a mutual respect about the differences of perspectives? There's a summary here of those verses. You might say, don't make a mountain out of a molehill. Don't make something that's not there. It's not cut and dried. When the scripture is clear, it will be clear for us and there won't be, as it were, that discussion. Won't need to be that discussion. The tendency is for the person who has a stronger conviction or viewpoint is to judge and look down on the person who is different. And Paul is saying, that's not a healthy thing. Now, in churches of Christ, for as long as I can remember, and studying the origins of our movement over 200 years ago, there were two guiding principles or statements, if you like, that were important. One is, where the Bible speaks, we speak. Where the Bible is silent, we are silent. Right? Don't make up stuff to say what the Bible says when it's not there. Where the Bible speaks, we speak. Where the Bible is silent, we are silent. I'll come to that in a minute. And the other statement that's important and that I think governs so much today is, in all things there is to be unity. In things essential, unity. In things non-essential, liberty. But in all things, love. Let me say it again. In things essential, there is to be unity. In things non-essential, there is liberty or freedom, but in all things, we are to act in love. So when a person disagrees, and when they are holding on to something, we are still going to be loving. I remember Ephesians 4, for example, says, speak the truth in a loving manner. We address the issue. We can't avoid it sometimes, but we do so in the love of Christ for that person. We see that person as God sees them. So firstly, we see in this passage, the Apostle Paul is saying to the Christian community, you are to be accepting, you are to show respect, and thirdly, you have a responsibility in everything to please God. And verses 7 through to 9 and 10 to 12 and verses that I've just read to you highlight that for us. We do whatever we do to honour the Lord. Now in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 31, there is a word that just really embraces the whole scope of this thought. The Apostle Paul says, whatever you do, hello? Whatever. What's that mean? What does that mean? It means whatever. It means everything, right? Whatever you do, do it all to honour God. You drive the car, you scrub the floor, you write the letter, you talk to your neighbour, you're at work. Whatever, you do it in a way and for with the motive of pleasing the Lord. All that we do is to honour and to please him. That's the focus that we're called to here. And friends, we need to remember that. As we go from this place, we drive the car away. Will you drive in a way that pleases the Lord? I saw somebody I know the other week, downtown Albion Park, and I can only tell you, I shook my head when they drove. Because they cut a bloke off, and the bloke in the car that they cut off went, right? I thought, was that the way this person drove, honouring to God? Now think about it. Because we are Christians, and we'll all stand before God, and we give an account of our lives, don't you be the judge of another person. Because as chapter 14, verse 12 says, we will give an account of our lives, and if we're judging somebody else, that will be added to our judgment. We'll have to answer for judging another person. I don't go there. It's not going to. Now, that doesn't mean we don't assess, we don't see that there are issues, and we don't recognise that, and we have to deal with it. But judgment for the sake of judgment is not what's... Because we're at that point. Is that accepting? Is that being respectful? So we are to respect, to embrace, to accept each other, to follow Christ and love each other in a way that honours Jesus Christ. So let's be practical for a minute. What does it mean to welcome each other, to embrace, to accept? Remember, the Christian faith is for all people, all nations, all languages, all age groups. It's for all. So what do you think when something like the Israel-Lebanon conflict rises? Is there a loving attitude and a concern for what is taking place there? Or do we start to go down the track of being judgmental about what is taking place? Yeah, there have been wrongs. Yes, we recognise that. So the question is, how do we do that? Years ago, there was a bunch of young people that came into a church where I was working. I'll never forget it. There were about half a dozen of them. They'd been camping for a couple of weeks, and they just wanted to worship God on a Sunday morning. They'd been away from civilization, so to speak, for about 14 days. They came in, and they were grotty. I mean, you could smell them before you could see them. They had their camping gear on. Fair enough, they'd been camping. They had no shoes on their feet. And they came into church and sat as a bunch. And when we invited interaction, they were into it. And it was really good. I appreciated the fact that here were some young people here. After the church service had finished, some of the older folk came to me and said, "What do you think about that?" I said, "Do you know what? I was glad that they were here." They said, "They had nothing on their feet." God's concerned about their soul, not the soles of their feet. Their heart. Oh! And we had a long discussion afterwards. Now, that's an extreme case, isn't it? But do we accept those who are different to us? Like, do we look down on other people who have a different viewpoint? Do we actually become judgmental about, and rather than discuss different points, nah, we're not going there, and we just cut them off at that point? Is it clear there's something that you believe God has spoken to you about? Issues like alcohol? What do we do on Sunday? How do we use Sundays? Can often be, for different Christians, different things. I have particular convictions, not just a thought, I have convictions about those two issues. But that's not in black and white in the scriptures. So I don't have the right to impose what I believe on you. I'll discuss, I'll give you the reasons. I'm happy to do that. But it's not to impose on another what the scriptures do not say. Right? Where the scripture speaks, I'll speak. Where the scriptures don't speak, then there is freedom. There is an approach that we can take that shows and demonstrates acceptance and respect and love. Sometimes we need to actually accept the fact, not only that things are different, but it's just doubtful, you're unsure about. Here's a young bloke in his early teens. He calls out to his mum and he says, "Is my shirt clean enough to wear a second time?" And from the other end of the house, mum calls out, "No." And the young bloke comes down and he says, "Mum, you haven't even seen the shirt. How can you make that statement?" And she says, "You wouldn't have asked the question if it was clean." Right? So sometimes the rule of thumb becomes, if in doubt, don't. Right? Now, I have said that to each of my grandchildren when they get their driver's license. If you're not sure that you can get into or cross the road ahead of that oncoming car, don't. If in doubt, don't. Is perhaps something that we need to consider in all of this. But ultimately it is, do all that you do in your life, everything that will honour. Be the best father, mother, the best parent, the best neighbour, the best student, the best worker that can possibly be. Because in Colossians chapter 3, it says to us as Christian people, in verse 17, whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of Jesus. When you go shopping, you might be behind the queue. Which queue do you take? Which line up waiting for the checkout? Sometimes Alison and I take the longest one, so we can have a conversation with the person in front and back. Do you make a compliment to the worker at the checkout? What would Jesus do in a situation like that? And just in general, remember, Jesus is with us. We take Jesus into those situations. So whatever you do, do it all to the honour and glory of God. Now look, I need to get to the end of this quick, but there's one other thing that's really important here. So we accept, we respect, we're to be responsible to please God, and then we are to respond in love. Now, verses 12 and 15, as I said, 15 mentions it specifically, 12 actually implies it. What does that mean? Some people are plain obnoxious, aren't they? I mean, they're a pain in the neck. You know what having to do with them. But the question is, how does Jesus see them? How does he think about them? And friends, it's to this extent, I don't know whether you've looked, I've spent a lot of time reflecting on Luke chapter 15 lately. And most of us say, okay, it's the chapter about lostness. The lost sheep, 1 out of 100, lost and out of circulation. Now, why bother with one? 99 are safe. Look after them. But the shepherd goes after the one that was out of circulation, and the scripture says there was joy, like in heaven, when 1 out of 100 comes back into the fold. There's a lady with 10 coins. One coin is lost. She searched for it, missed it, and all the rest of it. And eventually finds it. And the statement is, here's a lady, she celebrates like God celebrates when 1 out of 10 comes back to usefulness. Now that's what the coin was all about. And then we know about the prodigal sons. You know, actually this chapter is not about the prodigal son, or the coin, or the sheep. It's about God the Father. If you look at it, Jesus is actually addressing the stiff-necks, the judgmental Pharisees, and he gives 3 examples. And here's these 2 sons. Now, we know about the lost son, don't we? Young bloke comes to his dad and he says, I can't wait for you to die. Give me your inheritance. I'm out of here. I don't want to live on the farm, sort of thing. And he clears out. Now, there was a cost to the father. He takes off. And there were a few reports, it would seem, came back about his conduct. He wasted. It was a mess. It was sad. Think of how it was for the father. If you read the parable carefully, the father was looking. It's like he was looking every day, hanging out for his son to come back. How is that for a heavenly father? I'll tell you what it's like for an earthly father. For 11 years, I had no contact with my eldest son. And I can't tell you the grief and the pain and the struggle that was for me. Any attempt at contact was just ignored. And Alice and I would pray, and I would pray daily for him. Because we had been really, really close. I didn't have a clue, I still don't, as to why that happened. And then we heard that there was a drama in his life. I sent a text message and he responded straight away. Within a few days, I landed at Brisbane Airport. I saw him in the distance, and as he walked towards us, we just hugged. It was like nothing had happened. We've not talked about that. But I can tell you, it's just so good to be able to say, and it's continued to be great, right? Our Heavenly Father, this is what the picture's about. A Heavenly Father, this earthly Father, Jesus is saying, he sees his son in the distance, and he did something that a dignified elder senior statement would never do. He ran and embraced him. Then gives him a ring, puts clothes on him, says, "Let's party. You're back." But there's an older brother outside in the paddock. He's working. All these years, he's been faithful. He's been good. He's been trustworthy. He's been honourable. And he hears the noise and he says to somebody, he says, "What's going on? There's a party on. Your brother's back. Come on." He said, "You're kidding. That rat bag. Dad's never even given me a chance to have a party. And they've killed the fatted calf." That was a very special thing. A fatted calf in those days was for special occasions. Dad comes out. Notice that? Dad goes out to that son, the stiff, morally right, the goody-goody. He goes to him and says, "Come on." He says, "Nah, no way. Come and join in the party." You see, the loving Father, this is about God the Father, the loving Father goes to those who think they're right and good and honourable and have done the right thing. And I've always been like that. I've never wasted and caused you problems. And he goes to the rat bag, the one who was an affront and an insult to the family. The Father goes to both. Do you know what? We actually fit into one of those two boys, what they represent. We might recognise we're like the younger son. We've blown it badly. We might be like the older one and say to the Father, "Come on." But the Father loves them both. That's what Jesus is saying. He loves us all. So, my time is gone. Where does that leave us? Paul's solution is not just to tolerate the other person, be nice to the other person, endure their difference, but the solution is to love and to be loving. The most challenging and inconvenient thing that we can do is to ask, "What does love require of me right now?"